It was Loper, the boss, the owner of the ranch on which we were doing these peculiar things. Slim didn't see him, but I did. I rolled my eyes in Loper's direction, went to slow, embarrassed taps on the tail section, and squeezed up a grin that said, "Oh, Loper, I guess you think, hey, I'll bet this looks a little bit... We were just..." Slim must have sensed that my attention had wandered. His hands froze in the air, and he followed my gaze until he saw Loper, who was scowling at us. He pushed his hat down to the bridge of his nose and nodded his head. "Am I interrupting something?" Slim's hands dropped to his sides and he began rocking up and down on his toes. "Oh no, me and the dogs was just funnin'."
"Funnin'? Well, listen, Slim, don't worry about this work we need to get done. What's important is that you and the dogs have a good time out here. I think that's wonderful. A heck of a lot more important than, let's see, welding those feed bunks, hauling in the last cutting of hay, checking those heifers in the Dutcher West pasture." Slim's face turned red.
"You reckon we could just skip over this and go straight to the point?"
A smirk twitched at the corners of Loper's mouth. "The point? Why, what could be more important to the success and survival of a ranching operation than for the hired man to spend quality time with the dogs?"
"Loper, there's times in a feller's life when he'd rather not."
At that very moment, my interest in the conversation came to an abrupt end. You know why? Because I had just noticed that Slim's right arm was hanging limp at his side, and his right hand was still holding that strip of jerky. I scouted their faces. They weren't watching me, so I crept forward on silent paws, and suddenly the jerky vanished, let us say.
I chewed it twice and tried to swallow it, but it was dry and stiff and got hung up in my throat,
so I switched my swallowing muscles over to an emergency procedure we call cram it down. Okay, maybe I should have chewed it up a few more times, but after he'd held it under my nose and made me wait so long, hey, I was about to die of jerky lust, and I was forced to cough it up, as you might say, before I choked to death. It landed on the ground. I shifted my gaze and noticed that, oops, all eyes had turned to me, you might say. Slim stared at me, then turned back to Loper.
"See, because of you, Hank stole my breakfast."
Loper was forced to laugh.
"Some breakfast. Even the dogs won't eat it. Was that some of your homemade jerky?" "Heck yeah, and it's good too. Best I've ever made, dumb dog."
"Well, I guess you could always take it back."
"I think I'll pass on that."
He beamed a glare down at me.
"Hank, you wasted a piece of my homemade jerky."
"Wasted? Ha! Little did he know. If at first you don't succeed, lap it up again. That's my motto, and that's just what I did, fellers. I licked it up out of the dirt, chewed it 17 times, and rammed it home to the old stomach. It scratched a little bit going down, but I got her done. We call this procedure jerky reruns, and it sure works. Slim and Loper curled their lips and looked away. Slim shook his head.
"Hank, have I told you lately that you're disgusting?"
"Well, no, but what did he expect me to do? Leave a perfectly good jerky breakfast and let it go to waste? Forget that." Loper gave his head a shake and started walking away. If it's not too much trouble, why don't you saddle a horse and ride through those heifers in the Dutcher West pasture? Loper walked up to the machine shed and left us there. A great silence moved over us. I became aware of Slim's harsh glare. That's what I get for hanging out with a couple of moron dogs. I try to teach y'all couth and manners, and you get me in trouble with the boss. He heaved a sigh. Well, let's saddle old Snips and go check them heifers. He went into the saddle lot to catch his horse, leaving me alone with the drover. Why are you staring at me?
Well, I didn't get any jerky. I sat there like a good little dog, and then you gobbled it all down. It wasn't fair, and I'm starving.
You're not starving, and life is often unfair, drover. The sooner you learn that, the less you'll eat.
I had my heart set on that jerky, and now my heart's broken.
Your heart's not broken. My heart's broken. Had you forgotten that? I was in the midst of telling you about my broken heart and shattered life, and somehow you got us on the subject of oatmeal.
No, it was jerky, and you hogged it all.
It was oatmeal, drover, or mush, to be more specific. My life has turned to mush, and do you know why?
You're a husky?
No, because Beulah loves Plato instead of me. Because she chose a bird dog over a cow dog. That's why my heart is broken, Bover, and you don't even care.
Yeah, but my name's Drover.
That's the kind of friend you turned out to be, and I know perfectly well what your name is.
Yeah, but you called me Bover.
Sorry, my mistake. I should have called you Meathead. Do you know why?
Well, let me think here. Because I love jerky?
No, because you finally succeeded in driving me insane. I marched over to the nearest tree and banged my head against it. There, I feel much better now, and I hope you're happy.
Well,
now I'm going back to bed. I'm going to sleep, and I don't wish to be disturbed. Hold my calls, and most important, don't ever speak to me again. Goodbye.
I whirled away from the little lunatic and started to leave. It was then that I heard him say,
Well, okay, but are you sure that mush really isn't oatmeal?
I froze in my tracks. For a moment, I gave serious thought to going back and wringing his neck. Instead, I hit full throttle on all engines and got myself out of the swamp of his mind. I went roaring down to the gas tank, screeched to a halt, and threw myself into the warm embrace of my gunny sack bed. Plato had shot me out of the saddle. Beulah had rejected my love. Drover had turned out to be just as worthless as I had always thought he was. Pete had... Wait a second. Remember that story Pete had told me about the deadly moonbeams? All of a sudden, it occurred to me that it was all garbage. A typical cat trick, nothing but lies. Yes, I had fallen for it, and Kitty would pay a terrible price for his... I dropped onto my bed, my dear old gunny sack bed, the last friend I had in the world. I had failed in the department of love, but I would never fail in the department of sleep. Sure enough, sleep came and swept me away from the cruel world. I had dreams, powerful dreams, full of meaning and purpose. I saw myself transported to a better place, a kinder world where there were no cats or bird dogs. Just me, all alone with a steak bone as big as a utility pole. It was delicious, and I was in the process of gnawing my way through it when, the sound of an approaching vehicle? How could that be? Steak bones weren't vehicles, and they never drove into our ranch compound. Therefore, it followed from simple logic that I lifted my head and cracked open my eyes. A terrible sight greeted me. Drover. He was sitting on his gunny sack and giving me a silly smile.
Oh, hi. Guess who's here?
my steak bone and don't get any big ideas about sharing it.
No, I think it's Billy. He's back.
His belly's on his back? What are you talking about, drivel?
My name's Drover. I know your name. I've always known your name. Why do you keep repeating it? 'Cause you keep getting it wrong.
I cut my eyes from side to side.
Wait a minute. You're Drover, right? That's what I said.
Okay. Where are we? What day is this? And most important of all, what did you mean when you said your belly is on your back?
No, I said it's Billy and he's back. I guess you were asleep.
I blinked my eyes and things began coming into focus. Okay, I was asleep, Drover, but now I'm back on the job. Now tell me again about your bellyache. How does it feel now?
Oh, pretty good, thanks.
Good, good. So the crisis has passed?
Well, I'm not sure. He just got here and he looks kind of worried about something.
Ah, so maybe the crisis hasn't passed after all. I was afraid of this. I began pacing, as I often do when my mind is reeling, racing.
And tell me again who he is, Drover. This could be a crucial piece of information. Billy.
I stopped in my tracks.
Billy? I thought you said belly.
Well, this throws quite a different light on the case, doesn't it? For you see, Drover, we don't know anyone named... Wait a minute. Hold everything. Halt!
I marched over to him. Did you say Billy?
Yeah, about 5 times.
Just answer the questions, Drover, and let this court decide if you said it 5 times. Did you say Billy, our neighbor from down the creek?
Yep, same guy.
But he was just here only moments ago. I saw him myself.
Yeah, but you slept for 2 hours.
Suddenly, the pieces of the puzzle began falling into a suspicious pattern. I shot a glance over at the pickup that had just pulled into headquarters.
Wait a minute, Drover. Do you see what I see? Do you recognize that pickup? Holy smokes, it's Billy, and he's back.
I'll be darned.
And do you see what else I see? In the back of the pickup, Drover,
it's Beulah.
And be still, my heart. There's no bird dog with her. She's alone, Drover. She's come back to me.
And with that, I went flying out to greet my lady love.